Testing in the House Chamber, Legislative Day 94.
The House will come to order. Members will take their seats. Visitors will retire from the chamber. The Sergeant-at-Arms will close the doors. Members and visitors are asked to please silence all electronic devices. This evening's prayer will be offered by Representative Montgomery. Members and visitors in the gallery are asked to please stand for the prayer and remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance. Representative Montgomery.
Let us pray. Gracious God, our Father and our Mother, we come in this moment gathered in this space and place on one accord, remembering that we are all called to service in this place, remembering that we are all called to remember those in whom elected us and those who didn't vote for us, those who sit on the highways and byways as we travel to this place, those who have no idea what takes place in this chamber, we're called to work on all of their behalf. And as we're gathered here, we ask that our hearts would be open to never forget that the things that we do in this place, there will be a time in which we must give account. And so we pray that in that moment when we must give account for our actions, that we can stand tall and know that we've always done the right thing on behalf of the people of this great state of North Carolina. We pray now that you endow us with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, that we may press our way forward with the work at hand, and that when it's all said and done, we'll be able to be in your right graces. This we pray in the matchless name of Jesus Christ, and all of God's people said amen.
Amen. Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Gentleman from Harnett, Representative Lewis, recognized for motion.
Mr. Speaker, the journal for July 11th has been examined and found to be correct. I move that it be approved as written.
Representative Lewis moves the journal for July 11th be approved as written. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. The journal is approved as written. Ratification of bills and resolutions. Clerk will read.
The rolling clerk reports the following bills due to ratify presentation to the governor. House Bill 108, an act to improve data collection and cost recovery practices for health care services for safekeepers and to recommend that the Joint Legislative Program Evaluation Committee. House Bill 469, an act to revise the laws pertaining to equitable distribution, amend the laws pertaining to parenting coordination, and to make various changes under the laws pertaining to adoption. House Bill 628, an act to eliminate the outdated requirements for savings banks and savings and loans associations to publish extracts of statements of financial conditions to allow commercial banks, savings and loans associations, and savings banks to offer savings promotion raffles and to add to the North Carolina Banking Commission a member who is or is employed by a person that is licensed under the North Carolina Secure and Fair Mortgage Licensing Act. House Bill 675, an act to make various changes to clarifications to the statutes governing the creation and enforcement of building codes.
Chapter bills will be noted. Mr. Clerk, Chair directs that House will come to order. Mr. Clerk, Chair directs Senate Bill 217 be removed from today's calendar and calendar for tomorrow. Representative Lewis recognized, sent forth committee report. Clerk will read.
Representative Lewis, Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House Committee report. Senate Bill 413, raise the age modifications, favorable.
Counter, Senate Rule 36B.
Senate Bill 438, Excellent Public Schools Act of 2019, favorable.
Counter, Senate Rule 36B. Representatives Corbin and Warren recognize, send forth committee report. Clerk will read.
Representative Corbin and Warren, State and Local Government Committee Report, Senate Bill 356, Surplus Property Proceeds Parking Order, Favorable House Committee Substitute, Unfavorable Senate Committee Substitute, and refer to Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
Senate Committee Substitute, Unfavorable Calendar, House Committee Substitute, refer to the Committee on Rules, Calendar, Operations of the House. Representative Lewis recognized, sent forth committee report. Clerk will read.
Representative Lewis, Rules, Calendar, Operations of the House Committee Report, Senate Bill 9, Female Genital Mutilation Clerical Prohibition, Favorable Committee Substitute, Unfavorable Senate Committee Substitute.
Senate Committee Substitute placed on the unfavorable calendar. House Committee Substitute, calendar Senate Rule 36B. Senate Bill 301, Clerk will read.
Senator Brown, Senate Bill 301, a bill to be entitled to act to clarify current statutes on withdrawal of participant units of regional schools. General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
House will come to order. Gentleman from Wilkes, Representative Elmore, recognize, debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. When this bill was sent over to us, it was dealing with an issue dealing with our regional school in the northeastern part of the state. And what we tried doing with our modifications in the House is actually fixing the issue. When the regional schools were formulated or created, there was a process to create the school, but there was not a process to dismantle the school if needed. So what this process will do in the bill is give a procedure for if the regional school wants to dismantle. And I appreciate your support.
Representative Smith is recognized, send forth Amendment ATC 65, Version 1. Clerk will read.
Representative Smith moves to amend the bill on page 2, lines 9 through 30, by rewriting those lines to read.
Please recognize and debate the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This amendment shares that the regional school currently, if anyone wants to join or anyone wants to form a new school, they have to take the process of, they go to the regional school, they make a recommendation, and then it's sent to the State Board of Education for the consideration. And so when we look at withdrawing, with what was presented, it did not show the same consistency of going to the State Board of Education for consideration. So this amendment asks that the regional school provides a recommendation if someone wants to withdraw, and the State Board of Education to make that final decision. So it all be consistent with joining, forming, and withdrawing. Thank you.
For what purpose, Chairman from Wilkes, Representative Elmore Rice?
To speak to the amendment.
Gentleman has the floor.
I would urge you to not support the amendment, to vote no on the amendment. This amendment was brought up in rules and discussed at that time. The idea being is that the regional school is formulated with partners in the region, and they make the decision, almost like a business deal that you might go into where you have multiple partners. By this amendment, what it basically does is make the State Board of Education the ultimate decision maker on if a school withdraws or not. That's not where that decision needs to be made. It needs to be made with the stakeholders and their involvement there. The procedure that's put forth is pretty clear on how that would work, and it also allows in the bill for a notification to be sent to the State Board. But in this case, I don't think that it would be good for the State Board to get involved in really a regional conflict with the regional school. So I would urge you to not support the amendment.
For what purpose, gentleman from Orange, Representative Meyer, rise.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to address the amendment.
Gentleman has the floor to debate the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, if this amendment doesn't pass, you will never see another regional school set up. And here's the reason why. This amendment changes the provision that requires a two-thirds majority to agree to withdraw. No new school district is going to agree to set up a regional school district if they think they're going to be locked in by the other districts that they sign up to join with. This amendment fixes that. It still has a safeguard in it because it says the regional board has to agree and the state board has to agree. So you've got a safeguard against some petulant school district that wants to get out for silly reasons. But if you don't pass this, then we may as well be putting a nail in the coffin of the whole regional school proposal altogether. And I don't think we want to do that because I think we all believe that regional schools can actually help us, particularly in rural areas.
For what purpose does the lady from Pitt, Representative Smith, rise?
Speak on the amendment.
Lady has the floor.
I guess I want to make sure I clarify, because when it was stated that the ultimate decision is with the State Board of Education, well, it's already with the State Board to join and to form a new school, so why not have that consistency to make sure if someone is withdrawn? This was brought to me by my county. The attorney for the school district looked at the probability of litigation being higher if it goes to the regional school to be able to make that decision. And one of the things they wanted to do is keep those individuals on the regional school board out of litigation. And so if they make a recommendation, but the final decision is made by the State Board of Education, then it decreases the probability of litigation. So it's a common sense thing to be added, and I would ask for you to please consider supporting the amendment. Thank you.
For what purpose, Chairman from Wilkes, Representative Elmore Rice?
To speak a second time on the amendment.
Chairman is recognized.
Again, I would urge you to not support the amendment. The litigation that is in place with the situation that is in northeastern North Carolina right now is because there was no clear process on what to do if someone pulled out. So this solves that problem. We think that it will solve the problem of future litigation. So you do not need the amendment to prevent future litigation at all, because the major crutch in the suit was that there was not a process. The statutes were not clear on what it would take for people to withdraw. This clarifies it, so I don't think the issue that this would lead as written to future litigation, I don't believe that that is an issue, so I would urge you to oppose the amendment.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House is the adoption of Amendment A1. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 54 having voted in the affirmative and 63 in the negative, the amendment fails. Further discussion, further debate on the bill? If not, the question for the House is the passage of Senate Bill 301 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. The clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 99 having voted in the affirmative and 19 in the negative. Senate Bill 301 passed the second reading. And will without objection be read a third time?
General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Question for the House. Passage of Senate Bill 301 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. Senate Bill 301 having passed third reading will be returned to the Senate. Senate Bill 320. The clerk will read.
Senator Alexander, Senate Bill 320, a bill to be entitled an act to foster regional corporations of water and wastewater infrastructure amongst system utilizing reservoir water. General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
What purpose does the lady from Nash, Representative Barnes, rise?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To speak on the bill.
Lady has the floor.
Thank you. Members, Senate Bill 320 was created to foster regional cooperation among water systems utilizing public reservoir water. It passed solidly in the Senate, and I'd ask for your support.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Vance, Representative Garrison, rise?
To speak on the bill.
The gentleman has the floor.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. And members, this particular bill actually pertains to the Kerr Lake Regional Water system, pretty much singles it out. And this system was actually formed by the city of Henderson, by Warren County, and the city of Oxford. since its formation, a number of customers have purchased water through this system. This current bill is designed to place some measures in it that would make it difficult for Henderson, which is the managing partner, to manage this system effectively. Basically, it is asking the local government commission to pretty much serve as a mediator with apparently some discrepancy or differences about establishing water rates, as opposed to the LGC pretty much providing regulatory authority, which it traditionally does. Another significant point that we of concern that we have is that the end users now are attempting to regulate the rates, the water rates that they are to pay and to be charged, when in fact the city of Henderson, which is the managing partner, provides a total operation for the water system. It treats the water, it maintains the equipment that is required, and delivers the water to its partners. It's a bit unorthodox. Plus, in addition, if Sephora is maintaining and upgrading the system, the city of Henderson currently has $18 million on the line, $20 million, I'm sorry, in grants and loans for upgrade and maintaining the system, which would be jeopardized by this bill. I think that it's important that all of the partners go back to the table and try to negotiate and come up with some reasonable solution to this issue, as opposed to what is currently being proposed. I liken this particular proposal to being a situation, a relationship between the landlord and tenant. The landlord provides the property and the equipment that goes along with it, but it's not appropriate for the tenant to charge the rental rate. And to me, this is a similar scenario. I would ask that I oppose this bill, and I ask that this bill be referred to rules. Thank you very much. Refer it back to rules.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Henderson, Representative McGrady, rise?
To ask a question of Representative Garrison.
Gentleman from Vance, yield to the gentleman from Henderson?
I do.
Yields.
Looking at the bill, I understand this is a bill of general application that applies, is really a local bill in the way it's cast, but doesn't Section 3, beginning at line 24, where the local government commission is given a role to arbitrate between local governments that are fighting with each other, really provide a safety net of sorts from overreaching by whoever the local government or whatever set of local governments are on the other side of this dispute?
I'm not exactly clear on the exact role that the LGC actually should play. I could see how possibly that could be a role, and maybe that's what this bill is asking them to do. I don't think that there's perhaps considerable objection to that. That is a concern that the LGC would serve as a mediator, but if that is what has to happen at the end of the day, I don't think that would be a problem. But what is a problem is that this bill actually allows the end user to pretty much dictate the water rates, and that's a real problem. We need to try to it needs to go back and to all the partners to try to discuss this and come up with some reasonable solution to the issue.
For what purpose does the chairman from Wake, Representative Jackson, rise?
Mr. Speaker, I realize the speaker was in discussions with other people, but at the end of Representative Garrison's remarks, he actually wanted to make a motion. He actually made a motion that the bill be referred to rules.
Okay.
I realize he had not been recognized.
Yeah, I didn't hear him, so he wasn't recognized for that. But if the gentleman would like to stand, the chair will actually, before the gentleman does that, I think Representative Barnes wanted to debate, but then I will come back to the gentleman to make that motion after Representative Barnes. So the lady from Nash, Representative Barnes, recognized to debate the bill a second time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Again, it's an added safety measure to bring regional cooperation. It fosters cooperation on the front end to avoid confusion on the back end. These new taxpayer dollars are used for upgrades and expansions of water systems, and this bill will ensure that the parties know up front so that when they're not halfway into a project and one party could possibly back out for whatever reason and say they're going to pursue another water supply. So I think it protects both parties. I'd ask for your support.
Now the gentleman from Vance, Representative Garrison.
Yes, Mr. Speaker.
The gentleman's recognized for a motion for re-referral.
Yes, sir. To be referred to rules, please, sir.
The gentleman has moved that the bill be referred to rules. The gentleman is recognized to debate the motion.
Mr. Speaker, I really believe that this bill needs to be reconsidered by rules and given appropriate authorities such as the Division of Environment and Quality and others to have a chance to weigh in on the matter to try to help arrive at a reasonable solution to the issue.
On the motion, for what purpose does the lady from Nash, Representative Barnes, rise?
I would ask you to vote no on the motion.
The lady is recognized to debate the motion.
I'd ask you to vote no, please.
Okay. For what purpose does the gentleman from Person, Representative Yarbrough, rise?
A question for Representative Garrison.
Gentleman yield?
Yes, I do.
Yields?
Representative Garrison, what impact do you think a $250 million, 1,000 job project in the Oxford-Henderson area would do for the ratepayers on that water system?
Well, all right.
Further discussion, further debate on the motion. If not, the question for the House is the motion to re-refer the bill to the Committee on Rules. Those in favor of the motion will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will machine record the vote. 54 having voted in the affirmative, 63 in the negative. The motion fails. Further discussion, further debate on the bill. Mr. Gentleman, for what purpose the gentleman from Vance, Representative Garrison, rise?
I object to a third reading, sir.
Noted. The chair will call for objection at the appropriate time. For the gentleman will simply speak up at that time. The chair promised the gentleman he'll recognize. Representative Batch, the lady want to be recorded as aye on the motion instead of no?
Yes, please.
Lady will be recorded as having voted aye on the motion as opposed to no. Further discussion, further debate. If not, the question for the House, passage of Senate Bill 320 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed to vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will opt machine record the vote. 67 having voted in the affirmative, 50 in the negative. Senate Bill 320 having passed the second reading. Bill without objection. Haven't been objected to. We'll remain on the calendar. Senate Bill 476, the clerk will read.
Senators Horner, Tillman, and Ballard, Senate Bill 476, a bill to be entitled to action to direct the State Board of Education to recommend steps necessary to transition to a competency-based assessment and teaching model for all elementary and secondary students in North Carolina, to require public school units to adopt and implement a suicide risk referral protocol, a mental health training program, and policy against teen dating, violence, and abuse. General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
The gentleman from Union, Representative Horn, is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, Senate Bill 476 is a PCS heard in, of course, education and rules. What it does is it actually takes two House bills. One was House Bill 714, which passed this House 114-0. and it dealt with competency-based education. That's section one of the bill, and that promulgates the session law back from 2015, moving the state into looking at competency-based education. Section two and three were House Bill 434, dealing with suicide prevention, and that passed this House on April 25th, 105-1. I ask you please to support the bill.
Further discussion, further debate, not the question for the House. Passage of Senate Bill 476 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will have machine record the vote. 116 having voted in the affirmative and one in the negative. Senate Bill 476 passed the second reading. Will without objection. Hear that third.
General Senator Nocline in act.
Chair did hear the objection from Representative Speciale. The bill remains on the calendar. For purpose, gentlemen, from Mecklenburg, Representative Alexander rise.
To change my vote on 320 from a yes to a no.
Gemma will be recorded as having voted no on Senate Bill 320.
All purposes, lady from Mecklenburg, Representative Carney, arise.
I would like to be recorded as voting no on Senate Bill 320.
The lady will be recorded as having voted no on the second reading of Senate Bill 320. What purpose does the gentleman from Guilford, Representative Brockman, arise?
No on 320, please.
The gentleman from Guilford will be recorded as having voted no on the second reading of Senate Bill 320. Senate Bill 154, the clerk will read.
Senator Davis, Senate Bill 154, bill to be entitled an act to enable wagering and sporting events of horse racing on tribal lands in accordance with the Federal Indian Gaming Regulatory Act. General Senator Nocline in acts.
The gentleman from Macon, Representative Corbin, is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This bill authorizes sports wagering on tribal lands. What this does do, it simply adds sports wagering to the list of Class 3 games currently offered at Cherokee casinos. All bets will be limited to taking place on tribal trust lands controlled by the Eastern Band of Cherokee Indians, according with the Indian Gaming Regulatory Act and existing North Carolina statutes. What this bill does not do, colleagues, is geographically expand gaming in North Carolina. And let me be clear, I'm not asking you to vote to legalize gaming. That was done 21 years ago. I'm not asking you for internet or remote gaming. This is brick and mortar that would take place at the two casinos that lie in the districts of myself and Senator Davis, which is the reason we're supporting this. These locations are in Murphy and in Cherokee, North Carolina. I would appreciate your support.
Further discussion, further debate. If not, the question before the House is the passage of Senate Bill 154 on its second reading. Those favoring passage will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. The clerk will lock the machine and record the vote, with 91 voting in the affirmative and 26 in the negative. Senate Bill 154 has passed its second reading and will, without objection, be read a third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina.
Further discussion, further debate. If not, the question before the House is the passage of Senate Bill 154 on its third reading. Those favoring passage will say aye. Those opposed will say no.
No.
In the opinion of the chair, the ayes have it. The ayes do have it. And Senate Bill 154 will be enrolled and sent to the governor. The House will be at ease. purpose does the gentleman from Craven, Representative Speciale, arise?
To remove my objection to Senate Bill 476.
Noted. Notices and announcements.
Try to get his attention. Well, it's lights on. I think it's good.
For what purpose, gentlemen from Ironside, Representative Shepherd, rise?
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to be recorded voting a no on Senate Bill 154.
The gentleman will be recorded as having voted no on Senate Bill 154. For what purpose, the lady from Carter, Representative McElrath, rise?
For a point of personal privilege.
Ladies recognized to speak to a point of personal privilege.
For 53 years, I've been married to my sweetheart today. I know it's a personal comment, George said. I've never been here on July the 15th to wish him a happy anniversary from this floor. Since this is my last term, let's hope next year we won't be here July 15th and I won't have to do this again. But I'd just like to say, please, if you don't mind, say, congratulations, Roger, you married the right woman 53 years ago.
Actually, the chair has been informed that Senate Bill 476, which passed by a vote of 116-1, that the objection was withdrawn for third reading. So is there any further objection? Hearing none, Senate Bill 476 will be read a third time. The clerk will read.
General Senator Knockline NX.
And while we're waiting for the physical copy to be back out, And please don't leave. The chair is trying to expedite with notices and announcements, but we are going to introduce the pages momentarily as well. For what purpose, gentleman from Durham, Representative Hawkins, rise?
Point of personal privilege.
Gentleman's recognized.
Today is July 15th to the rest of the world, but it's a holiday in my household. Today is my wife, Tracy Van Hawkins' birthday, and she is a life partner that has stood by me through thick and thin, and I've known her for 16 years, and today is the day that we treat her extra special, and on the floor today, my first term, I want to be able to say happy birthday to her. So please, my colleagues, join me in saying happy birthday to my wife, Tracy. Thank you.
I'm going to ask the pages to come forward, and as they're coming forward, we're going to finish our final business on Senate Bill 476. Further discussion, further debate. If not, the question before the House, passage of Senate Bill 476 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. Senate Bill 476, having passed third reading, will be returned to the Senate. Also, as the pages gather, the Chair would like to extend the courtesies of the gala on behalf of all members of the House to a number of state employees who are here on behalf of Scenic, who are here in the gallery and with us tonight. Would y'all please stand so we could welcome y'all as well. Thanks for being with us this evening. To our pages who are here with us this evening, the clerk is going to momentarily introduce you, and as he does, if you would step forward and wave so that my colleagues and I will know who each of you are. The clerk will introduce the pages.
Nathaniel Bowers, Orange County, sponsor Representative Vinsco. Lillian Fountain, Wake County, sponsor Representative Ball, Ahmed Haidery, Wake County, sponsor Representative Everett, Walker Livingston, Orange County, sponsor Representative Torpett, Lindsay Lopez, Wake County, sponsor Representative Von Haven, Caitlin O'Brien, Mecklenburg County, sponsor Representative Harris, Ethan Palmberg, Catawba County, sponsor Representative Adams, Brooke Sandiford, New Hanover County, sponsor Representative Grange, Olivia Snow, Stokes County, sponsor Speaker Tim Moore, Rebecca Zerniak, Beaufort County, sponsor Representative Kidwell, Ridge Kerniak, Beaufort County, sponsor Representative Kidwell.
To our pages, we want to thank you for being here with us this week. We hope you have an opportunity to learn about your state government and also to make some friends from around the state. We'd ask my colleagues to please join me in welcoming our pages with us this week. You may return to your post. Representative Insko, could the lady approach the dais, please? What purpose does the lady from Orange, Representative Insko, rise?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Representative Maury and I have submitted a representative statement to the clerk, and we would request that you read it in its entirety upon adjournment and spread it across the journal, and I'd like to be recognized to speak to the statement.
So ordered, and the lady is recognized to speak to a point of personal privilege.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, many of us will remember Dr. Charles Vanderhorst, who died on June 14th as he was completing a marathon swim in the Hudson River. He was 67 years old. As well as being a community activist, he was a professor of medicine at UNC. Representative Maury will say more, a little bit more about his professional career. Those of us here in the chamber who knew him will remember him for his passion for justice. For healthcare advocates, he was the public face of Moral Monday and a close friend and ally of Representative William Barber, made famous, I guess, or infamous, by getting himself arrested during one of the demonstrations. Charlie came by his passion and activism honestly. His mother, Sonia Eichenbaum Vanderhorst, was a Holocaust survivor. As a young girl, she stood up to Hitler's troops. She refused to get on the train. "We know what happens to those people," she said. "They never come back. Just shoot me right here." For whatever reason, she survived that incident. But when she got back inside, she found her father and two brothers shot to death. Her mother was gone. She never saw her mother again. So she grew up in the Netherlands, got married. Charlie was born there, actually. They immigrated to the United States when he was about two, lived in upstate New York. His parents were active in the ACLU and the NAACP. As Charlie grew up, he went to Andover and then applied to Harvard and Duke. He wrote a very liberal treatise and was denied. His Andover president didn't know why he hadn't been accepted to Harvard, and the Harvard admissions officer said he was crazy. Do you know what he's doing? Have you read all the letters he's written? So he didn't get into Harvard. Then he went to Duke and wrote the same letter to Duke, the same application to Duke, and was welcomed there. He then went on back to Harvard to medical school, where he actually got in touch with his Jewish roots, and he was very active in the in his Jewish synagogue and observant Jew. So he said that people do a lot of talking, but they don't actually walk the walk. I'm the child of a Holocaust survivor, and people who didn't walk the walk died. So we honor Charlie Vanderhorst tonight and honor his memory and all of his commitment to social justice. Thank you.
For our purpose, the lady from Durham, Representative Maury Rice.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just to add a little bit to what Representative Insko said.
Ladies and gentlemen, speak to a point of personal privilege.
Thank you, sir. Charlie was a world-renowned physician. He started dealing with patients who were suffering from an unknown disease, which turned out to be HIV and AIDS, before any other physicians were doing it. He was hands-on. He became a worldwide leader, traveled many times to Africa to help people, helped open clinics all throughout the United States, people who had been stigmatized, ostracized by even the medical profession. Charlie's received numerous awards, and when he retired in 2015, here, right here in Raleigh, he started the Open Door Clinic, where he has created a curative treatment plan for patients suffering from hepatitis C. In addition to all his pioneering work and accolades worldwide, he was an unbelievable family man, great husband, father, friend to so many. And I knew him through swimming. He was an ultra athlete, ran in many marathons, Boston marathons, triathlons. And on the day of his death, he was finishing the last leg of a 120-mile swim in the Hudson River. And although he was doing exactly what he loved, he left us all too soon. And I think the state and the nation owe him a great deal of thanks for his courage, his dedication, and most of all, his compassion and his mobilization to get people involved. Many times you've seen doctors in white coats coming to talk about the practice of medicine, the needs people have in their communities. Charlie mobilized that. And so in his memory, we commend this dedication to him. Thank you, members.
Mr. Clerk, Chair appoints the following conferees on Senate Bill 212. Representative Dobson, Chair. Members, Representative Horn, Representative Lambeth. Representative Lewis recognized, sent forth committee report. Corker Reed.
Representative Lewis, Rules, Calvin, Operations, the House Committee report. Senate Bill 5, School Safety, Omnibus, Favorable House Committee Substitute Number 2, Unfavorable House Committee Substitute Number 1.
House Committee Substitute Number 1, Unfavorable Calendar, House Committee Substitute Number 2, Counter Percent Rule 36B. Further notices and announcements? If not, the gentleman from Harnett, Representative Lewis, recognized for motion.
Mr. Speaker, I move the House adjourn to reconvene Tuesday, July 16th at 2 o'clock p.m., subject to the standard stipulations set forth in Rule 15.1.
Representative Lewis moves, seconded by Representative Bowles, that the House do now adjourn to reconvene Tuesday, July 16th at 2 p.m., subject to the standard stipulations set forth in Rule 15.1. Those in favor will vote aye, or say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. We stand adjourned. Mr. Clerk, Chair strikes the pre-initial appointment of conferees on Senate Bill 212. Strike that order.
On motion of the chair, Senate Bill 118, short title PED Safekeeper Healthcare Cost Recovery Practice, is withdrawn from the Committee on State and Local Government and recommitted to the Committee on Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House. Senate Bill 144, short title Allow In-State Tuition Athletic Scholarships, withdrawn from the Committee on Finance. The C referral to the Committee on Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House is stricken. The bill is calendared pursuant to Rule 36B and for tomorrow, the 16th. Senate Bill 590, Modify Continuing Education for Real Estate Brokers, is withdrawn from the Committee on Rules and recommitted to the Committee on Finance. A C referral to the Committee on Rules is added. Reading of a representative statement, the clerk will read.
A representative statement honoring Charles Van der Hurst. Whereas Charles Van der Hurst was born on January 4th, 1952, in the town of Haversham, Netherlands, and immigrated to the United States with his parents, the late Jonas Van der Hurst and the late Sonia Innenbaum Van der Hurst, who was a Holocaust survivor. And whereas Charles Van der Hurst earned an undergraduate degree from Duke University in 1974, where he was captain of the varsity swim team, and a medical degree from Harvard University in 1979. And whereas Dr. Van der Hurst was an emeritus professor of medicine and infectious diseases at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. And whereas Dr. Van der Hurst was a renowned HIV/AIDS researcher in the United States and Africa. During his retirement, he volunteered at the Open Door Clinic in Raleigh, establishing a treatment program of hepatitis C. And whereas Dr. Van der Hurst was a dedicated social service activist, giving freely of his time and financial resources to promote his beliefs. And whereas Dr. Van der Hurst was a superb athlete competing in marathons and triathlons before he began training in the marathon opening water swims. And whereas Dr. Van der Hurst died on June 14, 2019, while participating in a 120-mile, 8-bridges Hudson River swim. And whereas Reverend William Barber captured Dr. Van der Hurst's spirit by saying, "He shall forever be remembered for all of those who rescued from the practice of medicine and sought to rescue from raging tides of sickness, poverty, and injustice." And whereas Dr. Van der Hurst was survived by his wife, Laura Savinsky, his daughters, Anna Savinsky Van der Hurst and Sarah Savinsky Van der Hurst, his sisters, Tajana Swettinger and Jacqueline Surgeon, and his brother, Roger Van der Hurst. Now, therefore, Dr. Van der Hurst deserves to be honored for his contribution to medical field, especially his innovative infectious disease research and for his tireless advocacy for most vulnerable among us. In witness whereof, the undersigned certifies the foregoing statement read in the House and placed upon the journal on the 15th day of July 2019, submitted by Representative Vinsco, submitted by Representative Morey, James White, Principal Clerk.
Special message from the Senate. Senate Chamber, July 15th, 2019. Mr. Speaker, it is ordered that a message be sent to the House of Representatives with the information that the Senate failed to concur in Senate Bill 354, House Committee Substitute Number 2, 4th Edition, a bill to be entitled an act relating to seizure disorders in schools. Respectfully, Sarah Lang, Principal Clerk of the Senate. That message is noted. Special message from the Senate. Senate Chamber, July 15th, 2019. Mr. Speaker, it is ordered that a message be sent to the House of Representatives with the information that the Senate failed to concur in Senate Bill 621, House Committee Substitute Number 2, 5th Edition, a bill to be entitled an act to reduce testing administered to students in public schools and requests conferees. The President pro tempore appoints Senator Tillman, Chair, Senator Ballard, Senator Edwards, Senator Sawyer, Senator Horner on the part of the Senate to confer with a like committee appointed by your honorable body to the end that the differences arising may be resolved
respectfully, Sarah Lynn, Principal Clerk of the Senate. That message is noted. Special message from the Senate, Senate Chamber, July 15th, 2019. Mr. Speaker, has ordered that a message be sent to the House of Representatives with the information that the Senate failed to concur in Senate Bill 212, House Committee Substitute Number 2, 6th Edition, a bill to be entitled an act requiring the Department of Health and Human Services to postpone deployment of the North Carolina Families Accessing Services through Technology and CFAS system as related to the case management functionality for the Child Welfare System and Aging and Adult Services Program, enhancing the early childhood workforce potential, delay for Medicaid and NC choice transformation, authorizing adult care homes to use service plans completed as the result of a Medicaid personnel care services assessment to fulfill the activities of daily living portion to the required services plans for cares for adult care home residents, and amending assisted living administrator certification qualifications, and request conferees the President pro tempore appoints Senator Krawick, Chair, Senator Heiss, Senator Bishop, Senator Bergen, on the part of the Senate to confer with the Light Committee appointed by your honorable body to the end that the differences arising may be resolved respectfully. Sarah Lang, Principal Clerk of the Senate. That message is noted, and the Speaker appoints the following conferees to Senate Bill 212. Representative Dobson, Chair, Representative Horn, and Representative Lambeth. Senate will be notified by a special message. Special message from the Senate, Senate Chamber, July 15th, 2019. Mr. Speaker, has ordered a message be sent to the House of Representatives with the information that the Senate failed to concur in Senate Bill 194, House Committee Substitute, Second Edition, bill to be entitled an act removing the cap on satellite annexations for the town of West Jefferson and the city of Saluda, and request conferees of the Senate for temporary appoints Senator Ballard, Chair, Senator Heiss, Senator Horner, on the part of the Senate to confer with the Light Committee appointed by your honorable body to the end that the differences arising may be resolved respectfully. Sarah Lang, Principal Clerk of the Senate. That message is noted. Special messages from the Senate, Senate Chamber, July 15th, 2019. Mr. Speaker, pursuant to the message received on July 10th, 2019, that the House of Representatives failed to concur in House Bill 206, Senate Committee Substitute Number 2, 5th Edition, a bill to be entitled an act to make changes to the laws related to transportation. The President pro tempore appoints Senator McInnes, Chair, Senator Jay Davis, Senator Rabin, Senator J. Alexander, on the part of the Senate to confer with the Light Committee appointed by your honorable body to the end that the differences arising may be resolved respectfully. Sarah Lang, Principal Clerk of the Senate. That message is noted. And special message from the Senate. Following special message received from the Senate, Senate Bill 686, third edition of bill to be entitled an act to appoint persons to various public offices upon the recommendation of the President pro tempore of the Senate and the Speaker of the House of the House of Representatives. Senate Bill 686 is read a first time and referred to the Committee on Rules, Calendar Operations of the House.